this week on Video Death Loop. Plus, Chernobyl, I hardly knew her. Hey, everybody, welcome to Video Death Loop, the podcast where we watch a short video clip on loop until we just can't take it anymore. I'm your host this week, Aaron Littleton. With me is your co-host, Mr. John Hurst. How are we doing, John?
I made it. I made it just in time. We're ready. We're ready to start the co-hosting. I got my list, my run of show here in front of me. Introduce myself after the host has introduced me. Check. Banter's next. Okay.
Yeah, we got to get some banter in. John, I have to report a failure in my life.
Oh, failure banter. I love failure banter.
Everyone loves hearing about other people's failures because it makes them feel better, doesn't it?
Yeah, go on.
I have to report that I gave up on reading The Republic just sort of by myself, like Plato's The Republic. I thought, oh, I'll read that.
you went to your local college bookstore, went to the philosophy section, and got like, you know what? It's time to read some Plato, right? It's like, you know, just like some good bedtime reading.
I feel like you read selections from Plato in your, I don't know, attempt to get an undergraduate degree. But you don't sit down and just read the whole thing, you know, as bedtime reading for the right. most part. And that is where I tried to fit The Republic into my life. And it does not fit there for me. And God bless you if it fits it for you, but it doesn't for me. I read the first two books. It's like multiple books. It's sort of like a George R. R. Martin situation. Where, it's like The Republic, but then inside The Republic, it's like
I don't think
honorable man or something. Book one.
I don't think the Plato works like in George R. R. Martin fantasy novel rules, where he's like, oh yeah, you got to get to the third book for the Red Cave
before it gets real good. Actually, it makes sense in a very similar way in that there's seven books. And The Republic, and I'm not going to read them all. And in A Song of Ice and Fire, I think there's also planned to be seven books. And I'm not going to read all of them either because he's not going to finish the fucking series.
No, it's
in a way, from my perspective, they're very similar.
Yeah, it's okay. Brandon Sanderson will finish both of them.
Do you think Brandon Sanderson has read The Republic? Good Mormon lad, Brandon Sanderson, who likes to write about magic swords. Do you think he's read The Republic by Plato?
Oh man, you know what? He is like he's done like college things before. Like it's possible.
Sure, I mean he's a college professor. He teaches at BYU, but has he read The Republic?
You know what? I bet he's assigned The Republic more.
You bet
than
he's
read
selections, perhaps.
I bet selections he's bought the greatest hit CD of Plato and listened Plato, to it in the car.
Plato for Dummies.
Yeah.
Just like anyway, so I had to give it up, and that has been my moral and intellectual failure of the week. And everyone, please feel like I'm more relatable because of that, if you don't mind. I will say I did actually decide, since I gave up on Plato, I'm like, well, I cannot go and just read like some bullshit book about spaceships. Like I can't do that now. I feel like I have to do something worthwhile. I've got to
wait, are you saying spaceships are not worthwhile? Because spaceship books are pretty cool.
So I've yes, they are. They are cool. Many of them are cool, and some of them are somewhat worthwhile. But I felt like if I wasn't going to read that, I needed to read like a piece of actual classical literature in the canon, so to speak, the canon of Western novels that you should read. And I also realized that I had read selections from, but not finished, Moby Dick, which have you read all of Moby Dick, John, front to back?
No. I've read and I don't like
selections from.
I've read selections. I've read the like the little excerpts that you do. We probably got assigned in high school for Moby Dick. You know, I know that you're Call Me Ishmael, fight a whale.
We know that.
I've read The Old Man and the Sea, and I don't know why I'm like they're,
that's
like
a
they're
poem
both ocean.
Though.
Yeah, but it's, you know,
it's an ocean book.
Yeah, it's an ocean book. They're common.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm reading that instead, and I will say, compared to The Republic, Moby Dick is infinitely readable.
I could see that. I mean, like, you trying to you're it's still trying to tell a story, like, well, where, you know, Plato's trying to philosophize with you. He's trying to give you the goods.
The thing about so much classical philosophy and other books, because I read that sometimes, and be ready, folks, for a real uninformed opinion. So many of the things you read about in, and we're talking about truly old books, like the Middle Ages or older, mm-hmm. are conversations that you probably had with your friends over beers in your early 20s.
Truth.
Because there is absolutely nothing I think that I read in The Republic that wasn't a thing that I could have imagined just having a chat about over like dinner with my college friends. Like nothing in there is surprising in the least. Nothing. It's just, hey, can you imagine eating some fish sticks in the main meal, which was the name of the food area. What's a cafeteria?
Cafeteria, yes.
At our college.
That is what a food area is. Yes, a cafeteria.
Food area.
The foodeteria.
The foodeterium, yes. I've had that exact conversation in the main meal before.
Yeah. Probably while eating the fish sticks and going like, dude. It started with dude somewhere, I'm sure.
It really kind of does. It really is like, dude, we went down. There was like this awesome horse race. There's this awesome horse race at night that mm-hmm. Socrates was attending with his buddy. And then someone's like, come back to my house and we'll fucking drink and talk. And then the Republic is literally just a recording of them going back to this dude's house and like talking and drinking and getting into like good natured arguments over what is good and evil.
Aaron, I want you to go back and do me a favor. Sure. Like, I want you to try to read read a little bit of like what you've already read of the Republic, but add the word dude before most sentences, not every sentence, because you just be like dude comma and then whatever Plato says, and see if it like if it makes it that much more enjoyable.
I bet it would be amazing. I honestly bet that it would be amazing if you did that.
Yeah, you just like you like occasionally maybe after like a paragraph like just in brackets long toke.
So anyway,
just
beer opening.
Yeah, ka-chirk. It actually has onomatopoeias in there.
Let's see. I've found Project Gutenberg. I wanted to actually do this. I think I'll just do it.
All right. I need philosophize me, Aaron.
Okay, talk for a minute. Keep this podcast interesting while I find.
Oh man, okay.
I find this just a sort of right across the plate passage from The Republic.
I will say that I did the opposite of you when picking out a book. I picked I'm reading through a trilogy of 1990s, the Margaret Wise Tracy Hickman books, and I bought this book for $2, so you know it's quality content. I also found. You don't get this with like Kindle copies anymore. I bought this at a used book warehouse and they never check everything. And it has a what looks to be a 1970s photo of the Twin Towers someone took just as used as a bookmark. So, and the book, like the second book of trilogy called like Doom of the Dark Sword. So I'm, you know, I don't know if there was trying to be like symbolism or if they just like, let me pick, like, I need a bookmark real quick. Let me just take my picture of the Twin Towers and put it in here.
The Twin Towers, that enduring symbol of American prosperity.
Yeah, that will help me remember my place in this book. It is also, I will say it's also not doing the trick, but it's making me fall asleep very quickly, so I keep reading it.
Okay, here's something from book one. Okay.
How? By the way, before you start, how long are these books in terms of Plato books?
They're pretty long. I mean, like, they're longish. I mean, it makes a very long book when you put them all together. So if you imagine, like, 1/7 of a very long book, that's about as long as, like, I read two of them. It's not like I haven't read any of The Republic. Okay. I sort of know what's happening in it.
All right. Philosophize me.
Okay, I guess they're talking about what is justice. Okay. Dude. Of all other things, justice is useful when they are useless, and useless when they are useful? My man, that is the inference. Then, bro, justice is not good for much. But let us consider this further point. Is it not he who can best strike a blow in a boxing match or in any kind of fighting best able to ward off a blow? For sure, certainly. Bong rip. And he who is most skillful in preventing or escaping from a disease is best able to create one? True. And he is best guard of a camp who is best able to steal a march upon the enemy? My man, certainly. And it just goes on, and of course he's just leading him up to be like, then if you agree with all of these things, then fucking I'm right. That's this book. It's just that for a very long time. It's Socrates making a fool out of a motherfucker over and over and over again.
I think we've been, the Bibles for teens, like action Bible for teens books that they try to do to help relate the Bible to teenagers and all that. I think, like, what if they did that just for Plato? Just to be like, all right, bet. Check this shit out. Justice, is it good for something? I don't know. Like, you know, but you infer it, hell yeah. Just kind of keep going from there and just like, I don't know. There's a market there. There's a market.
I'm sure there is. But there's also a market for our podcast, John, which we have ignored long enough, I think. Because I have a video. As the host of this year podcast, I have a video.
Okay.
And as the host, I know what it is. As the co-host, you don't know what it is. And we're going to watch it on loop until we can't take it anymore. But true. I will say, this is one of those episodes where I couldn't quite decide, so I'm not going to let John know what he's picking, but I'm going to let him pick.
Okay, all right.
So John, you get to pick. I have two videos keyed up, and I'm going to give you a word that describes each, and you just pick the word, and then we're going to watch the video based on that word.
Okay, I'm listening.
And you'll be surprised. So John, would you like to see a video that is clean, or a video that is dirty?
Ooh. Oh, man. You know what? The last week we saw a bunch of car crashes, which were, you know, a little dirty, but the cars were clean because they crashed into swimming pools.
Sure.
But I think I want to watch something dirty. I think I need to get clean, like clean in the dirty sense, if you get my drift. I need to be cleansed by mud.
Okay. We could, you know what? We could do that. We could absolutely do that. And so I've got it ready. And we're going to watch this video in 3, 2, 1, let's get dirty.
I just realized this is probably like Dirty Jobs or something before I even watched the video. Oh, nope, it's not. Oh, wow. Okay.
The name of this video, the name of the video that you've picked is Chernobyl Accident Simulation Only, parentheses, no talk.
Oh, no. So is this
it's from the very good, I say that, I know nothing about this channel. This just popped up in my YouTube recommendations for some reason. A channel called Higsino Physics.
Sure.
And it is, we've got sort of a map of how they, I guess, imagine or have modeled the meltdown that happened in the Chernobyl reactor.
So
where
this
we
is
got
like,
very, very dirty.
We had a bunch of balls. They got a little bit loose out there. Got a little bit worse. These, like the strands, like in the middle, going down. Like the, I'm assuming those are the rods, like the Chernobyl rods, maybe.
Yeah, the control rods.
Yeah.
They're putting in to try and maybe slow down.
This is a fucked up version of Bingo, I'm just going to say right now.
Yeah. It's a pretty big, or like, it's not Connect 4, it's Connect 37.
Yeah. It's getting full pretty quick, too. And there's
how long's it been since you played Connect 4?
Not as long as the, oftentimes if you go to, barcades and stuff, like, sometimes they have, like, the big version of Connect 4, stand up. I think I played one of those just on a whim, but I don't think the person I was playing with cared, so I just like put all four in one. So it was very, very anticlimactic.
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, it was not a competitive game. I want my money back.
I don't know if Connect 4 is one of those games that it's possible to win in without your opponent making a mistake.
It's like, it's fast paced, so you gotta like the thing, like they're at the bottom and you're trying to do them at the same time. It's a real time game,
right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you take a turn, they take a turn. Is that not how you do it, or do you play Connect 4? You just throw in those chips as fast as you fucking can.
You know the chips are on the table. You just like, you kind of like bring them down there. I'm sure you could do it turn by turn on there and bring it down, but I'm pretty sure that like as a kid, you probably just like snuck a couple of Kinects in there,
just as fast as you could.
Yeah.
I feel like I've always played it with a turn. Like, okay, I'm putting it in, then you're putting it in. I mean, Kinect 4 sounds wild if you played at the exact same time.
Yeah, it's
like why it sounds like it'd be awesome, actually.
Yeah, you just put it down like you. Like more turn based board games would probably be pretty awesome real time. Operation real time, hell yeah. Everyone gets tweezers.
Quickly pull this man's bucket on the knee out right now.
Oh no, there's a lot more balls. Oh no. Yep. Oh no.
There we go, and we've melted down Chernobyl.
Cool.
Now we're back.
Good deal.
I will read the things on the bottom just so we remember what we're dealing with here. The black lines are control rods.
Oh, okay. They are.
The kind of light blue is water. The black circles is xenon. Mm-hmm. The white rectangles are moderators. Mods. Call your mods.
Mods.
Blue circles are uranium. The gray circles are non-uranium. The small black circles are thermal neutrons, and the small white circles are fast neutrons.
I'm a fan of the fast neutrons. They are
they're getting there. They go fast.
Yeah, they kind of bounce around a little bit. They're having a little bit of fun. Like they're not caring about this whole thing here.
I know what some of those words are.
Yeah, I mean,
what does
Xenon
have to do with any of this? That's what I want to know.
Like xenon as a gas, I think
it's a noble gas, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's exceedingly noble. It does not react. I guess that's why they put it in there, so it won't react.
Yeah. There's a weirdly dark, ominous music happening also during the Chernobyl simulator. And I thought that was in my head the first loop through, but no, it's definitely there.
Yeah, it's kind of in the background. And I think as we get more, you know, like reactions happening, it gets a little louder and it's making this Geiger counter noise.
Yeah, notably midway through the video, the legend that Aaron talked about on the podcast just a second ago just goes away. So good luck figuring that out. Yeah. It's like you got it by now. Good luck.
Yeah, it's not like anything really goes down there. You might get a fast neutron shooting down there here and again, but it's not like that legend would be, you know, in the way of anything that you need to watch.
It's like, yeah, you got enough science, you figured it out. It's just like you're just watching a really harsh game of Minesweeper kind of going on.
I don't know, this video is for us, John. I feel like this video is for someone else. It's like for a third year physics student.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's for the third year physics student, or do you think it was made by the third year physics student who definitely was like, I need that grade right now. I need the extra credit in here. If I make a cool ass visualization, maybe I get extra credit.
It might be. I mean, but it is a whole channel of presumably stuff like this.
Hmm.
So, I mean, maybe they made that video and then it got a lot of hits and like, well, I guess I accidentally discovered what my career is going to be. that's a rough thing sometimes, I think, for people on the internet, right? Is that sometimes they make something that gets very popular, mm-hmm. and it makes them money, and like they didn't really mean to do that for the next 20 years, but they just kind of end up doing it because it's money.
Yeah, it's like the dude who was reviewing frozen food, like on YouTube for a long time, where he got to the point where I think the last frozen food he just like is like, these are all like, he broke down, is like, look, these are all crap. I don't know why I'm doing this anymore. I'm out of here, basically.
I read an article about something along those lines with the Epic Mealtime guy, like the main guy behind Epic Mealtime, where he sort of stopped doing those videos that got him popular, more or less.
Right.
And I guess because it just became impossible to top himself. And then they started doing, I guess, just other weird cooking stuff. But someone interviewed him and he said, literally, I wish my videos would stop getting so many views because then I could quit.
It's like, please let me be free.
Let me die. Kill. If you love him, kill the Epic Mealtime guy.
Let me starve.
I want my meals to be nothing. The nothing meal guy.
I want mundane meal dude.
See, it's like a modern day hunger strike on YouTube. Like, stop watching this. Just stop. I want to go be an accountant.
Yeah, I want to eat a normal meal. I want to eat just a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and not be criticized. I don't need an epic meal every time. I don't need this much bacon. This is how much bacon that we had. There was a lot of bacon on that show.
People shouldn't eat this much bacon.
I'm kind of glad we're beyond bacon, BB, at this point.
Beyond bacon, yeah. I think the Beyond Company makes some bacon.
Yeah, I mean, like, bacon's all right.
Talking about, but yeah, I think, well, they do make it.
Yeah, I'm like the beyond, like the age of bacon. Out there, like, bacon's all right, but you know, we were
into bacon.
Yeah, we got like, we had to pick a personality, and the internet chose bacon and cats, mostly bacon.
Yeah, it was that for a while, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I guess, I think it was just one of those, should we psychoanalyze why everyone started talking? Was it just funny? Is just bacon a funny word to say?
I mean, it's pretty and funny. It's, I mean,
it's objectively good. I think if you eat meat, if you're like a person that eats meat and you eat pork, Like, bacon's a great thing to eat. Tastes good.
It's tastes all right.
Good, funny to say.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, it comes in a funny little strip. And, like, I like a good crispy bacon every once in a while. It's pretty chill on that. But we've also been, like, using psychology to try to make people eat bacon for years and years, well before the internet, like paying off the people, physicians to say, like, yeah, bacon's healthy, hell, go for it, and stuff in the 30s,
right?
And I feel like that's just like another extension of that somehow. We just did it to ourselves.
I wondered, God, Chernobyl's melting down again.
Yeah, I don't like that part of it. It's just like, oh God, there's just
I can't decide if that part's real good or real bad. It's one of the. I mean, for the people around it in real life, it's real good. But as far as like the noises that it makes, I can't decide if I like it or not.
Right. Yeah, it's a very Murs Bowie sound, just very avant-garde.
If you had your choice between bacon and sausage. What are you picking most days?
Sausage.
Really? Like, you're a sausage man?
Yeah, I like a good sausage. A little bit more more meat there. A little bit chewy. Bacon.
Is there, though? Or is it like filler?
It depends on the bacon, I feel like. Not the sausage, I mean.
Yeah.
Where, like, if you got those the rolls of sausage that look like tiny hot dogs.
Uh-huh.
I could see that point. But like sometimes like you get those sausage patties. So they're pretty good.
I could respect it. I could respect like a breakfast sausage, I guess, is what I'm talking about. Because there's different kinds. You know, you get chorizo. You can get like Italian sausage. Those are the two other kinds of sausages. I will hear no more. I will hear no more. I will learn no more sausages.
No, that's all we need.
Breakfast. Italian. Chorizo. Full stop.
Yeah. No other breakfasts. It has been decided.
That's plenty. Well, I mean, you don't have to have it for breakfast. That's just all there is. I'm just saying there's no more varieties of sausage than that.
Right. Okay.
And if there is, I don't want to hear about them.
I feel like bacon is easier to... People are more particular about what type of bacon they like more than sausage. Like, you could probably make a sausage and like in whatever, and if you are a meat eater, you're probably pretty happy with that, especially in the morning. Bacon can be like droopy, like really greasy, crispy. Like, you can change it up and like or use, depending, like not pork, it could be turkey bacon, which I worked at a place that did, like, yeah, exclusively turkey bacon, and I did not enjoy that bacon at all. But
turkey bacon is, I mean, it's okay. It's okay. It's not bacon, but it's something.
Yeah. that's a hell of a slogan. It's not bacon, it's not bacon, but, it's something.
But it's something.
It's a turkey shrugging, basically.
It's like what it's what Socrates would say about bacon, yeah. Right? Like you'd be having this argument, you know, with somebody, and you know, Plato's farm. Plato's Animal Farm. He wrote Animal Farm, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well,
he's got his main character / teacher Socrates in there, and he's talking to, I don't know, one of the pigs from Animal Farm, and he's like,
yeah.
It's not bacon, but it's something, dude. It's awesome that your Animal Farm grows all this weed, man.
If we had a time machine, and like, well, here's how we could save the YouTube algorithm from the people who, hold on, soon the sound again. I can't concentrate. Oh God. Okay. Here's how we save the algorithm. We like, instead of having like these epic meal time, like everyone kind of going down and doing the same thing over again. What if we just invent time? First of all, step one: invent time travel. Get on that.
Okay. No, don't.
Okay.
I'm gonna say no one should invent time travel.
No one should. But if we do, move on to step two.
But don't. Don't. If you think you're about to invent time travel, just like drop some acid or something. Have a nice trip.
Watch a little bit of Chernobyl accident videos.
Yeah.
And go,
Yeah. Watch some Chernobyl accident videos and move along. Move along.
But in case
fuck things up, if you invent time travel,
that's true. But in case you do invent time travel,
but don't
proceed to step two. Which
okay,
step two
fine.
Is you
what
get
is, what is John's step two plan of you,
we
time
take
travel?
These, we take the philosophers, we take Plato, we take Socrates, like we take them, we make them. Review the frozen food. Make them have the epic meal time. Let them experience what turkey bacon is and review about it on the algorithm for us. That's the way the content of the future. In the past, because time travel.
I always have to stop and go, okay, was it reasonable that Plato had bacon? Because sometimes there's these foods that you associate with like Europe and the old world that are new world foods. But I don't think pigs are one of those. Are they? I think the most surprising thing for Plato for a turkey bacon would be the turkey. Because I'm pretty sure turkeys are a new world meat.
Okay. I would agree with that, I think.
I think turkeys kind of are native to America, and so there's no way Plato would have seen a turkey. I think. Mm-hmm. So if you're like bacon, Plato would be like, "Fuck yeah, bacon, my man."
What do you think their reaction?
Takes a bong grip. Let's talk about the nature of justice. No, we're talking about bacon.
What do you think the reaction to the turkey was if they first saw a turkey?
Yeah, wait. Is this your time machine plan? Like we're taking a turkey?
Oh no!
Ancient Greece, and we're like, check this shit out, Plato. A weird bird.
No,
he's like, oh, it's a man. Is hey, it not? Got, it's got a flightless.
Got a book idea for you. Here's Book 8 of the Republic. Check out this bird.
And Plato was the guy that was always saying, like, it's a, you know, a man is a thing, and then you'd get the other guy that would be like, oh, look, it's a bird. A man is a bird. Diogenes would bother him.
Yeah, be like, yeah, just.
So, I think they would be like, we should probably eat that bird. Right? I mean, like you'd see a turkey looks like a bird for eating. It's just too big to not eat. Because there's all these birds in the world, even Chernobyl birds, which we just watched melt down again. There's all these, and they're so small. And you look at them and you go like, that's not good for eat. Like, you could eat it, I'm sure, and it's probably fine, but there's just not that much meat on it. And you look at a turkey and you're like, that's a bird I should probably be eating.
Yeah. I did confirm, by the way, it is a new world bird. So
that's what I thought.
Yep.
So I think Plato would have to like be like, we got to eat that bird.
Yeah.
We got to get down to it. We got to eat that bird. How do we cook this bird? You make bacon out of it. Well, I know bacon.
And then you philosophize about it.
Yeah, then you philosophize about it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You write 7 books that some asshole in the future ignores and then reads a book about a whale instead.
That's how philosophy goes, right? It's just like you drone on and on until like it's like people are like, yeah, whatever, and they go on. It's like, haha, at this point I can write about whatever shit I want. And they can't deny me. I've already got through the first two books.
Are you saying all philosophy books get awesome near the end? Because they know they've run everyone else off.
You're exactly.
Like, all right, guys, now it's time for spaceships.
Yeah, Socrates had the first spaceship on there. He was like, check this shit out. You know what? Those stars, what if we could go to them? Holy shit. Olympus is in our reach.
We've done it. Oh, those people that abandoned us before now don't deserve spaceships. Here's the false spaceship. What if you were in a cave and you never looked outside and there was a fire and the only thing you saw was the reflection of a spaceship? That's those people. That's those people. They only see the shadow of the spaceship on the wall. They don't go outside and see the real fucking awesome spaceship that all us ancient Greeks are flying around in eating turkey sandwiches.
Yeah. Be like if like that's what we give to all our spaceships, all our pilots.
Because clearly we need to be eating this bird. I'm fucking done, John. I'm fucking done. I can't watch Chernobyl meltdown again.
I mean, it's a tragic a tragic thing to have happen and simulated into a very clean presentation.
Yep. Thank you, Higgsino Physics. 52.7 thousand philosophers. Their popular videos include Chernobyl Simulation, No Talk, Chernobyl Accident Visualize, Speed of Light equals Dead, and Superconductors.
Plato's Republic has a 3.96 on Goodreads.
That's pretty good. Out of how many? They do four or five.
Five. They do five.
Yeah, that's about right. That's about what's the best negative reaction for the Republic, John?
I'm gonna say the top reaction is pretty good because the opening paragraph is strong. Let me explain why I'd recommend this book to everyone. Plato is stupid. And it goes into a whole like their whole little skit in there, but it's a very strong opening statement. I'm listening now.
I like it.
But do you think what I was trying to do is like see if there were like, you know, like what happens in book 7 of the Republic if it just gets really awesome, but I'm not going to find that out. I guess you need to read it for me and let me know, like Curse of Oak Island only with philosophy.
Dude, how have you not continued? I found this exact same review and it only gets better. Let me explain why I'd recommend this book to everyone. Plato is stupid. Seriously. And it's important that you all understand that Western society is based on the fallacy-ridden ramblings of an idiot. Read this. Understand that he is not joking. And understand that Plato is well and truly fucked in the head. Thanks, Brendan. One star.
Yeah, it's very good. It's the image chosen for the Goodreads one. I was also like, everyone's just mad chilling, and just like it's like it seems like a good environment for philosophizing in.
Right. Well, folks, thanks for listening to Video Death Loop. It was probably more entertaining than the Republic, I hope. Probably of less value, but more entertainment. The spaceship.
I don't know about the value part. History will decide that.
Yes. As of right now, no one thinks that Video Death Loop is more important than Plato's The Republic. Mm-hmm. However, give us 2,000 years and then let us know. Send us an email, questions@videodeathloop.com. We will get it. 2,000 years in the future, I will make sure that John uploads his consciousness when he dies to the internet so he can respond to you in 2,000 years if we are as important as the Republic. I will be dead. I will not be doing that.
Yeah. It's like the podcast will have ended at that point because we cannot continue without Aaron on there. However, I will respond to the email on that.
John will be like an AI. He'll be like the last guy. You know, there's like that one guy from the Heaven's Gate cult that stayed behind to answer emails.
Oh, yeah, with the floppy disks and everything.
Yeah, he's still there. You can email him. That's you, John. I've nominated you for eternal life as an AI on the internet.
You know what? Yeah, sure. That the only AI that's actually important on the internet is the Video Death Loop John AI in 2,000 years. I'm kind of for that at this point.
Good. I am too. You have my blessing to live forever on the internet, John.
Thank you. We'll know if we succeeded if we get an email saying like Video Death Loop is better than the Republic.
Yep. At any point. At any fucking point. Yeah. Even if it's tomorrow. So send us that email if you like. questions@videodeathloop.com. We are on Blue Sky. We're like everyone else. We've abandoned Twitter for the obvious reasons. So we'll please go follow us over on there. And folks, in the meantime, have a great week. Bye.
Bye.